I just love this Malcolm man. And I love this church. What a
yes,
church.
What a church.
Sylvia gets up to sing. Oh, I don't have my glasses. Kelly gets her glasses.
I know.
It's so good. Father God, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Malcolm. Thank you, Lord, that he keeps close to you, Father God. Thank you that he gets a word from you for each of us every day, Lord, every day, yes, and every Sunday. Thank you, Lord God, for that. And Lord, may our ears be open and our hearts be open to hear, to receive, and to keep the word you give us through Malcolm. And that we go out and make action, take action on those words, Lord Jesus. Action every day. And Lord, help those of us who are like me and don't remember. Lord, just bring it back to our memory, because I know that through the Holy Spirit in us that you will do this.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. This is dead. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
While we're getting that, I guess. What's that? Getting the batteries here. I want to thank Sylvia for having that song sung this morning. I was sitting in my seat and we were singing. I was listening to the words and my body's going. I didn't understand, you know, because I've heard the song before. Didn't hear those words with the song before, but. Something grabbed a hold of my spirit.
Oh, yes.
You know? And really, the reality of all of the things that happened just hit me as each little scene came up through the words. I was just right there. I was right there. And it just really grabbed a hold of me. And so, thank you, Sil. I appreciate that. You did. How far did it go? Did it sail through the air a little ways?
Well, what really happened was we're listening intently, and suddenly it wouldn't play anymore. So we don't know what happened.
What, one of these kinds of things?
Yeah.
One of the
CDs? Was it Easter Sunday message?
That was a short one. So.
It was No, it was a short one, yes. But no, it wasn't the Easter message.
Oh, it wasn't?
No. So that happened when we had Easter, but I went back again. And
hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear it? Oh, yeah, I can hear it now. Okay. What's that? Yeah, Reggie got the recorder on. So. Well, probably would be good to see, too. All right. Last week for the Resurrection Sunday message, the message was about
science and faith.
Science and faith, right? That was, the message was entitled "Faith: Evidence of Things Not Seen," right? Because the whole emphasis last week was that faith is not blind. I don't care how many times you've heard that on TV or from other people, from unbelievers, from maybe even big believers. Faith is not blind. You don't believe something just because you want to believe it. Yeah? we understand, hopefully, we understand this as a group of believers. We believe something because there's evidence for it. Amen? There has to be evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so this is very, very important. I know this is going to flow right into what John's going to be talking about tonight, because we're going to talk about evolution and there's things to look at. And I want to say that when you talk about science and you talk about faith, they are not opposed necessarily to one another. It's not either or. It's not one thing or it has to be the other. It isn't that you can't believe, because science is what you can see. Faith is dealing with the evidence that you can't see. That you don't throw one out for the other. And that seems to come across a lot in our society. Well, I just believe in reason, people say. Well, you have to be reasonable with your faith, because faith is the evidence which requires a thought process to come to analyze the evidence that's given to you. Yeah? So it takes reason to have faith, just like it takes reason to look at evidence that can be seen. There's evidence that you can't see. We talked about this last week. And we were talking about that in the case of the resurrection. Right? Because we didn't see the resurrection. In fact, the disciples didn't see the actual resurrection. Did they? But they were given some other types of evidence that he was alive. He actually appeared to them. And he said to one of the apostles, Thomas, who wasn't there the first time he appeared to the apostles, but the second time he appeared to the apostles, Thomas was there. And Thomas had heard from his buddies, unless I see the prints in his hands and, in his side, I'm not going to believe. What was Thomas saying? I need some evidence before I'm going to believe. I'm not going to just take what you say. And then Jesus appears and Thomas falls on his knees and he says, my Lord and my God. Because he sees that this is the physical Jesus, not some spiritual apparition. It's not something that was only in some kind of spiritual sense. It wasn't somebody else that Jesus spoke through. This was Jesus, and he recognized him as Jesus, and he knew that Jesus was resurrected. And not only did Thomas, but all and the rest of the apostles, not just the 120 that were around them that had been hiding, but there were over 500 people who were witnesses of the resurrection of Christ. And that's why Jesus said to Thomas, he says, you believe because you're actually seeing, but blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. See, we weren't there. We didn't live back at that time. But we have evidence, eyewitness evidence, that he was resurrected. And that song that we sang was about that, wasn't it? And that's why, and we can be touched by that because we know it's the truth. Can't we?
Yes.
Our whole faith is based on the resurrection of Christ. That what he did, how he lived his life and his death on the cross had impact with God. Because God raised him from the dead to prove to all of us that Jesus died for the sins of the world. And that whosoever should believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise. That's a gift. And all of us have what we call faith in that. It isn't something that we're only hoping is true. We have the evidence of eyewitness accounts of the fulfillment of prophecy that prophesied that those very events were going to take place, some of them up to 1,000 years before it happened, and then they happened. So we have all kinds of evidence. Now, not everybody believes. Not everybody takes that evidence and says, I believe. But it's really important for us because, you know, the scripture says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Do you think that faith is important?
Yes.
What you believe in, what I believe in, is going to make a difference in our lives. And I want to talk some more today about faith, since it's so important. Since if you don't believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, then that could have an impact on where you're going to end up forever. Since the scripture is very clear that no man comes to the Father except through him. Right? That's pretty important. If you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't accept what he did for you, then you're not going to be with the Father. Now, you can have an eye, you know, I mean, I know I'm talking to believers here, but, if there were a number of unbelievers here, there's, well, that's what you believe. Well, this is what I believe. And it comes down to this whole concept of evidence, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, why do you believe? We need to believe in what's true, don't we? Mm-hmm. Now, if there were all these evidences, all these eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ, then it's important that we listen to what Christ says. Because if he was resurrected from the dead, has anybody else ever resurrected from the dead and gone to heaven and ascended into heaven? There's not even... Lazarus was resurrected from the dead by Jesus, but then he ended up dying again, right?
Yes.
But nobody ever resurrected from the dead, glorious, victorious, and ascended up into heaven, went to the Father. Nobody. There's no other stories in any other literature about something like that, that someone died for the sins of you and me. And because he lived a perfect life, he was able to be resurrected again and go to the Father. You talk about a glorious, glorious gospel. The glorious good news. What good news? This good news can be classified as our faith. Right? This is the faith that we have. It's the whole body of belief. The belief system is our faith, isn't it? And one of those things is that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. If we don't believe that he was resurrected from the dead, then we're still in our sins, the scripture says.
And most to be pitied.
And we would be most to be pitied. So, I want to talk, I want to flesh out a few things here about some scriptures so that we're clear about when the scriptures talk about faith and a few places we're going to go, that we understand what that means, because hopefully we need to understand that. We need to have the reasoning and the understanding that goes with what the scriptures say. So let's look at something here. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I'll give you the context of this. It says, if you were reading it at the very beginning of chapter 5, it's talking about how people have a body. And that when the body dies, the spirit goes to God. Yeah? That's what it's talking about. And this is what happened with Jesus. When Jesus died, spirit went to heaven. All right, so now it says here, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, this is very, very important that this is said. Now, read the next one. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Does this mean that we have to disregard anything that we see with our eyes?
No.
That doesn't mean that, does it? So, scientific evidence, can we look at scientific evidence and agree with it and still be a person of faith?
Yes.
Yeah, sure we can. One does not negate the other. But you're going to hear this time and time again. You're either a person of science or a person of faith. The two can't mix, and that's not true. So let's make sure that that's in our heads. Because, somebody said it, I think it was Heather, there is a battle. There is a real battle against Christianity right now, especially. Man, it's wicked in other places. It's not so wicked here, but boy, it's getting worse and worse in this country. And in this country, this is where the real battle is, right up here. To undermine your faith, to undermine what you believe about Jesus, about God, about you. That's what it's about, isn't it? To tear you away from God and His principles and His righteousness. Yeah. That's what it's about. So, we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. While we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You know, how many times have you said, "Geez, if I could just see Jesus. If I could just see." There's lots of people that say, "Well, if I see God, then I'll believe." Right? If I could just see. But see, this is the point about what faith is. Faith is evidence of things not seen. Right? There's evidence, but you don't exactly see God, do you? But there's plenty of evidence that God exists. Can you give me some examples of evidence? I mean, why do you believe in God? What's the evidence that you have that's in your mind that, you know, floats around in your brain that makes you believe, well, there has to be a God?
I look at my grandchildren.
You look at your grandchildren. And that lets you know that there's God.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's so miraculous. Mm.
The whole idea of birth and generation after generation, there must be something more to life than just that people are born and they live and they die. That there must be some other, there's a greater meaning. Is that what you mean?
The human body alone. Yes.
Okay, you can take the human body. Okay.
You got yourself and you healed. Yes. I mean, it's under. God is so amazing.
But all the functions, yeah. All the functions of your body, yes, are miraculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because just breathing air, we get up every morning and we don't even think about we're breathing.
Yes.
You know, God puts that into us and we forget it.
Yeah.
It's so natural, we don't think about the miraculous things that go on.
Yeah.
Our blood, how it flows.
How it flows.
Our heart, how it works.
Our eyes, that we can see.
Yeah. It's just amazing.
And it's so complex. What's that thing, Kathy?
Irreducible complexity.
Yeah. There's this scientific concept called irreducible complexity. that you have to say, in one sense, that things evolve to a point where, you know, things adapt, things have some change to it. But there's the scientific concept that says that you can't have a one-celled creature develop into a multi-celled creature, because there's too much complexity that everything has to develop at the exact same rate at the same time for all of these systems. I mean, how many systems do we have in our body? I mean, I don't know. But to think that it went from a one cell to something that's so complex, it can't be done. Now, I don't have the scientific, and you wouldn't understand it, and I wouldn't understand it anyway.
We can
break it down like a mousetrap. A mousetrap has five different parts to it. If you take any one of those parts out, the trap isn't going to work. Right? Take the spring out, you're just going to have a thing that's going to flip back and forth, and it's not going to snap down on the mouse, is it? If you don't have the cash to hold that, if that's not there, there's nothing to hold the thing up so it can snap down. I mean, each piece is needed for the whole thing to work. Each part of us needs to be there for the whole thing to work. That takes a designer. That doesn't just happen over the course of millions of years. And I think that's part of why people can go. Because over millions and millions of years, well, maybe that could happen. You know, over all those millions of years. I don't want to be taken away in something you're going to be talking about. But you know, this whole thing with time factor, there's things that lend into a little bit of how things adapt. But this whole concept of evolution from one type of being to a completely different, more elevated, more complex being, it doesn't happen. We were just reading this morning about the cell, one cell in your body is a complex factory, it says. It's too complex. One cell is too complex for there to be something where you could... it had to be there. All of those components have to be there. You can't, over time, have one thing added, and then another thing added 1,000,700 years later, and then another thing added, and then all of a sudden it's going to work. No, it has to. It all has to be there from the beginning for the thing to work. Do we get this? Mm-hmm. All right.
Malcolm, back to your original question. Just the evidence, right?
Yes.
In my life, I think the evidence that sticks in my head the most is events that happen.
Yes.
That you can't explain. Once the blinders are lifted off your eyes, once you're a believer and you start to see the connections, and when you pray for something and all of a sudden something happens, or you know, the confirmations, yes, be overwhelming. Confirmations, the more you lift those blinders, the more you start to pay attention, the more you get rid of the distractions, the more, I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's you can't even... You sit there and you just say, how does this happen? How can I say one thing and then 2 seconds later or pray for something and then 2 seconds later the next day, all of a sudden somebody else says something and then the next person says something and then or the events just all kind of fall into place.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
Yeah. And I think we see this when we come together on Sundays a lot.
Yeah.
The choice of songs that are made, to what the message is, to what other people have been experiencing during that week. And it all flows and connects together and you go, wow, boy, that's coincidental. No, but we don't. Because we've seen it happen time after time after time after time. And that should make you or me say, wait a minute here.
maybe there's something I can't see that's working. Yeah. And then I can, there's evidence that there's something that can't be seen that is at work. And that evidence is something that now you or I can base our faith upon. Faith is evidence of the things not seen. So we see things happen, but the unseen thing that makes those things happen, we have the evidence from the seen things to allow us to trust, because that's what faith is all about, to trust in the things that we can't see. Isn't that right? And that's what people of faith are. We don't throw our reason out. No, we have to use our reason to see things, like Reggie said, make connections because of the way we're thinking about things. It's not in opposition, and that's very, very important for us as believers that we understand that. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah, you had your hand up before.
Yeah, it's just, again, not coincidence, it's the exact same verse you're talking about where I have these little side notes, and it's 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, yeah, we walk by faith and not by sight. We do not make decisions by what we see or feel. We have to search our hearts. Where faith abides, it lives from there. The kingdom of God is within us, and we should follow those inner promptings that lead to righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Feelings can mislead us and steal our faith more than any other single influence. The problem with feelings is that they change constantly. We can feel 1,000 ways about the same thing in 30 days. One minute we feel like doing something, and the next minute we do not. Feelings also provoke us to say things that are unwise, and we talk a lot about how we feel. Do we believe that God of your feelings or the God of the Bible? Yeah. This is a question we must ask ourselves. More than anything, people who come to me for help to counsel tell me how they feel. We should tell each other what the Word of God says, not just how we feel. Our feelings do not convey truth to us. Satan uses them to deceive and mislead us.
Yes.
Emotions are unreliable. Do not believe them or trust them. Respond with your heart where the Spirit of God abides. And always be sure that you have peace. Check with your heart, not your emotions, before making a decision. Learn to walk by faith, not by things you can see, touch, or feel.
How many movies were based off of that?
Yeah,
you think about it, right?
Right.
You're watching a movie and you say, how can that girl not see what that guy, he's so perfect for that person. But that girl's making that wrong choice, or the guy's making the wrong choice because of their feelings. They're not seeing
That's very true.
Going with their feelings.
I want to mix in here that evidence comes from seeing, mostly that, or hearing, right? The senses do play a part in the evidence, okay? It's very important, and what she touches on in her comments there, that's from Joyce Myers, right? What she does talk on here is really at the very heart. It's the feelings that we get and the thoughts that come because of those feelings that can deceive us and that aren't necessarily of faith. So it's very, very important that we understand that evidence does come from our senses, because you have to see it. You have to read it in the scripture. You have to, there's something about senses that do apply. Otherwise, how would you know? If you're deaf and dumb and blind and you have no input that comes, you can still be a person of faith even. Because even without seeing, you can hear the voice of God speaking to your heart.
That's right.
Which can make some confirmation for things that are going on. Isn't that right? I mean, so it's the feelings that we really got to be careful about. You do need evidence. And evidence does come through the senses. You got to be careful, okay? I think that was a great point to make about the feelings, because that is where we get tripped up a lot in our faith. Anybody ever heard of these guys, Dawkins, Harris, Sagan? Anybody ever heard of those guys?
Sagan?
Yeah.
Dawkins.
These are all very famous scientists.
Yes.
And they all go by this premise. Religion is unreasonable. And they are advocates of reason. I hope that you never get into a discussion where you say, well, I'm a person of faith, if they say they're a person of reason. No, you know what? We're advocates of reason too. Aren't we? Don't get it found in some of these little tracts that these supposed smart people want to give to you, you know. Oh, well, we're advocates of reason. You're a religious person. You're a person of faith. And try to divide you off from the whole understanding that you have to be a reasonable person to be a person of faith, because you need evidence just like anybody else does. A lot of our evidence comes out of here, doesn't it? A lot of our evidence comes from the things that we hear while we're praying. Yeah? Or while we're worshiping. There's evidence that comes to us. Sometimes it is feeling. Sometimes we feel something happen in our hearts. So it isn't just one thing or the other. Feelings are important, but you got to be careful of feelings. The scripture says, you know, test every spirit that speaks to you. See, because spirits speak to you. The Spirit of God speaks to you. But you know what? You can have other spirits speak to your head. Huh?
Yes.
Even you, even me, we can get things spoken to our brains that doesn't sound any different than our normal thoughts, right? That isn't coming from the Spirit of God. Just because you're born again doesn't mean that the only spirit you're going to hear is the Spirit of God. You and I have to test the spirits to see if they are of God. So that's important. And you know how we're going to test and know, and so that our faith is secure in truth and good doctrine? We've got to know what this says, don't we? And it gets back to something I think that Julie said, and that is, this is what we believe, right?
Yes.
When something comes at your head, a thought that comes to your head that leads you away from this is a thought you better get out of your head. And you should do it as quickly as you can. A person of faith doesn't play around with thoughts that, if you know that thought, where did that thought come from? We've talked about this before too. We gotta metacognate. We have to be people that think about what we're thinking. Where did that thought come from? I know all of us have thought that once in a while, haven't we? Where did that thought come from? There's been times where something's happened and a word comes out of my mouth that I shouldn't say. And I'm going, where did that come from? Has that happened to you too? Please tell me that. Are you talking about that? Right? What's that?
I didn't say a word.
So this is important for us to realize that not every thought, not every impulse is coming from God just because we believe in Him. Believe in Jesus, you know? So we have to We, as people of faith, need to test every spirit that speaks to our heads. Right? It's not really that hard. You know that?
It takes time and effort.
It's a slow development. But it isn't hard.
No.
It just takes us living a slow enough lifestyle that we can allow ourselves to process things. Yeah.
It's a little bit from tonight, but I want to throw it in case you're not coming tonight. So you threw out a few names, sort of Dawkins and some of those other people. When you're a scientist, to be a good scientist, every scientist has biases. That's who you are. So if you're a Christian scientist, you obviously have a bias. You're going to be looking for certain things in that evidence and other things.
Bias.
The point of being a good scientist is saying, hey, this is the facts, this is what's there, and then putting aside biases. So when you use the term scientist for Dawkins, it's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
He's one of the most biased people on the planet, and he's made billions of dollars writing books called The God Delusion and whatever else that are very vaguely scientific. But at the same time, you've probably all seen Christians that you look at and you sort of say, wow, that guy's a bit loopy. I don't know what they're talking about. Other people are saying, oh, yeah, those are Christians, and you're going to believe Christians because those guys are loopy. And it's the same thing when everybody here looks at scientists. I want to make sure you don't walk out here, I know those scientists that do that. Because no, there are fruity scientists, there are bad scientists, there's crazy people. There's some incredibly good scientists.
Absolutely.
That are Christians, some that are very good scientists that aren't Christian. That try to put aside their biases and just say, hey, my job as a scientist is to study cell biology, or study, you know, astrophysicists, or whatever. So don't walk out here sort of, sorry.
Right. Yeah, I think that's really, really important, John.
Because
that's right. Because like was mentioned there toward the beginning, this whole thing is that science is supposed to be about evidence that can be seen, that can be observed through experimentation, through just observation. That's what science is all about. What you can see and what you can observe, that's what science is. All right. Some things you can't say, well, that's just not science, because you can observe it. But we did talk about the fact that there's lots of scientists who are moving in faith that they say doesn't, you know, they shouldn't be. They're moving in faith about the origin of the universe. They're moving in faith about what happened. You know, at the time of the flood, they're moving in faith about how old the age of the universe is. Was any of them there to watch? Did anybody know for sure? I mean, they have certain things. They use this carbon 14 dating, and they come up with how old certain things are. But when you go and look at how all of that's done, you find that there's a circular reasoning. The carbon 14 breaks down after a certain number of years. They've done things with carbon 14 that makes it not so sure that the age of the earth and the rock layering and all of that really is what they say it is. So where there's some question scientists have, then that makes you say, well, maybe that's more faith than it is absolute proof. You know how people say, well, global warming, that's a done science. We don't even have to talk about global warming anymore because it's just true. Everybody agrees to that, when not every scientist does agree to that. Right? But there's a bullying kind of thing. Jesus says, will I find faith when I come to the earth? You know, are we going to be people of faith that can also understand that there's science out there, there's things that you can observe, but there's lots of things that you can't observe? And where there's evidence for the things that you can't observe, then you can have faith for that, can't you?
All right, somebody had a hand up.
I would just say.
Go.
Well, science to begin with is just a hypothesis anyways, because you're thinking that, okay, well, I think I can make that to cure that. You know, so, I mean, they're starting with nothing but faith in what they have in their own mind.
Right, it's a it's a hypothesis, right? Yeah. It's a theory, the theory of evolution. You know, there's theories about how the Earth was formed, but part of science is to experiment, to try it out. And if you have a hypothesis about whether this particular drug is going to cure that particular disease, the only way you find out is by creating it and dispensing it and see if it works. And if it does, well, maybe then your hypothesis was correct. You can say that, you know, there's science involved with that because there's observation and there's testing and all of that going on. Okay, I wanted us to get to one other thing here, and that is I want you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10.
And Elaine was going to say something.
Oh, yeah, Elaine. Yes, go ahead, Elaine.
I was just going to say, if you actually use reason, science confirms faith.
Science confirms faith lots of times. Yes, absolutely.
An example of that would be the scientist who discovered currents in the ocean. He read in, I think it's Psalms, about water is moving like a river in the oceans, and he thought, oh, it says it in the Bible, maybe that is true. And he went out and he discovered these currents.
That there were actual ocean currents that nobody knew about before. And this particular scientist did use the word of God to find out that, yes, this is a scientific fact. There are currents of water that flow in the ocean. So, thank you. That's good. All right, Romans chapter 10. And we'll look at verse 8. It says this. What does it say? That the word, and that word is rhema, present word, the word is close to you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, I thought that Heather was talking about earlier was a really good example of that and connected with what happened with Sylvia with those girls teasing. It is in our mouth, and we have to trust that, don't we?
Yes.
It's in our mind, it's in our heart. You know, we have to trust that though we don't know what we're going to say sometimes, that if we hear God say something to us, or we're moved by the Lord to do something, then we should do it, whether we have it all together in our heads or not. It says in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believes, has faith, unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. All right, now, jump down to verse 17.
Because this is what I want to talk about in terms of faith. It says here, so then, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. So, you see that it's important for us to realize that we don't just do something and then say, I'm going to take faith for this. Lots of people in the Christian community do that. They have their own idea about what they want to happen. And then they say to themselves, I'm going to take faith for that. Well, did they? First of all, you've got to hear God speak that to you. Faith comes by hearing. You get this? Faith comes by hearing. You have to hear that in your heart that you're supposed to do something. You don't decide what you want to do and then try to drag God into it and hide behind some kind of faith. Faith has to come by you hearing first. Isn't this important for us as Christians? We need to hear, because that's the only way faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. And then it can't just be any old hearing. It can't be listening to any spirit that speaks in your ear. Right? Hearing comes by the Word of God. It's God that's speaking, and you sense that. There's a witness that in your heart, you know that it's God. And you know because there's confirmation. You know because there's a peace in your heart, like Heather was talking about, how she just felt so relaxed and she was at peace. You know? There are these types of indications that you get that lets you know that God has just spoken to you. Amen? Amen. And when you hear, and sometimes the hearing is when you're reading this word and the words jump out at you and grab your heart. Does that happen to you?
Yes.
You're just reading right along and something just really grabs your attention. The Lord's grabbing a hold of your heart. And you can take what you read then and say, I'm taking that by faith. I claim that by faith. Not because you just want something that's there, but because you heard God in your mind's ear, or you heard it in your heart, and you go, yes, I'm taking that. I believe that. I have faith for that. But if you don't have a hearing experience, you can't just go and read something and say, I take that. No. You have to hear it from God first. He has to be making that real at that time and stirring your heart for you to be able to appropriate something by faith. You can't just take this any of these words and, you know, kind of go like this and go like that. Okay, I'm taking this one. I appropriate that verse by faith because it's the Word of God and I'm taking the Word of... You're one of those cuckoo people that he was talking about.
It's not very nice.
Because it sounds religious. It sounds right. Why? I'm looking at the Word of God. No. God isn't a crazy man. These words are all there, and they're all life. And God speaks those rhema words, those words that are for you at that moment. And that's what you grab hold of, and that's what you can take faith for. You can't just go, I'm taking faith for this whole Bible. I believe that this is the Word of God. I mean, all of us do probably here. This is the Word of God, written down. And all of it has application, but not at every single second of every single day. God has something for you today that's somewhere in here. But He might be dealing with something else later on. Or you're not ready for a particular promise yet. And you're going to have to wait. But He's not touching that. He's touching something else. It's the rhema word that's important. It's the right now message that He wants you to get a hold of. And that's where you can take faith for something. Because you've heard it. You've heard it here, or you've heard it here as you've read the word, and that thing's jumped out at you. Yeah? That's what's gonna fire things up. Yes.
Well, sometimes you can read the same scripture over and over.
Yes.
And then another time you can read it and it's like, ooh, it's like pierces your whole soul.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's like God speaking to you right then and there, and that's the word that's important at the moment. You know? It's like, wow, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. I'm gonna stop here because I think I'm starting to lose some people. But I want to mention a few things that I'm probably gonna get to next week, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord does. But I wanted to say this when it comes to faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, and whether you want to write it down, maybe look at it later. 1 Timothy 6:12 says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. This isn't just going to be, a walk in the park. The enemy isn't going to just let you get closer and closer to God. He's going to come against you. And you and I both have, we've all felt what that's like, you hear the Lord speak something to you, and then you see circumstances that are happening to you or people that you love, and you go, maybe God didn't speak that. I mean, you can even get to the point, am I really a Christian? How can I be thinking this? The enemy knows how to come against your faith. They're called fiery darts that he throws. And it takes the shield of faith to not allow those things to get in there and burn you up. That's something for another day, probably a little bit more. I thought what Sonia said, what Heather said, went with this particular scripture. James 2:17 says, faith without works is dead. It just means it's not alive to you. You have the head knowledge. I have the head knowledge. But if there's not an appropriation, a moving in something, I think that's why there's lots of dead churches. That's why a lot of, especially younger people, they want to see that people really, really believe what they say they believe. And they see a bunch of, how much longer this is going to be. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. We act like we're 120 years old and can't get our arms up in the air or, get excited about God. If there's any being, and there's plenty, there's billions, trillions of beings in this universe, if there's anyone that should get us excited, it should be him.
That's right.
And it seems like he's the one that we are a little more cautious about showing some affection to. Faith without works is dead. And that's why it is important that as the Lord speaks things to you, that you ask him open a door for me today, Lord. That my faith can have some wings to it. That I can walk in something. Open up, make some circumstances for me, Lord. I don't want it just to be concepts. That's what I love about young kids. They're people of action. They want action. Right?
Malcolm,
they want to see
that. Prayed about that too.
Yes.
The beginning.
I know.
He said not just that we hear a message from God, but that we remember it and we put it into
action. Well, when she prayed that, I went, oh man, I can't wait to get to that part of the message. Because she spoke that. Yes.
Oh, there's a
that's another darn coincidence. These darn coincidences that we have. Those kinds of things. That's evidence that God, through funny looking me, can speak to you through the foolishness of preaching. Why isn't there just a voice? We come in here and we listen to this spiritual voice. Wouldn't that be great? We have this spiritual voice that just booms at us.
We just don't hear it.
But no, you've got to listen to my voice or other voices. But that's how God chose to do it. The foolishness of preaching. We want this great supernatural thing, and yet the supernatural, there's plenty of evidence for it. Isn't there? I mean, just in that little thing. The prayer, and then I say the exact same words. Because faith does require action. Faith without works is dead.
Okay. I'm trying to settle down.
Yeah, some of these things I think I might go another week with. Lord, there's plenty of evidence in this life that you exist, that Jesus came to this world to die for the sins of all of us, and that he was resurrected to justify us. There's evidence here if our hearts are open to it. Lord, I pray that pride, the darkness, neither one of those things get in the way of us opening up our hearts even more to the truth. That we be people of faith, that we're full of faith, and that our faith would grow. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to us the way you do. I ask, Lord, that you bless everybody here to be a person of faith, a person who listens to the voice of God, who listens in the recesses of their heart for the direction of you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that we be people of faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.